Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. This is the Eclectic DIY podcast. I also have a YouTube channel. It's me and my friends talking about what we think are interesting things. Today, we're going to talk more about electric cars. Nicole and I are here with our friend Helen, who's a longtime listener. She owns an electric car and an electric bike, and she emailed us and said, hey, I got this stuff, and I'm like, let's be on the show. So here we are. So welcome, Helen.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Cool. And Nicole, welcome. I've said before, I don't want Garden Fork to become the electric car show, but for a while now, we're just going to yammer about them because they're in my brain every day. So, and Helen, you, I think you got a car before we did. Could you kind of tell us your creation story, your why'd you buy an electric car thing?
Sure. So my husband is actually the geek. He is has been involved in the solar industry since the 80s, before anybody really thought much about it. And so he's kind of followed the electric car thing for a long time. We bought our first car in, I want to say, 2017. We bought a Tesla. We bought a used lease return car. And we bought it because we wanted to reduce our carbon footprint and so on. And we drove that car cross country. And that was an interesting experience. It was when there were not a lot of Teslas on the road, so we created quite a stir everywhere we went. It was kind of fun. People would come up and ask all kinds of questions. We met a lot of people at charging stations across the U.S. It was fun. So time goes on, and we really started thinking about this. And what we really wanted to do was be able to tow a small camping trailer. And at that point, there was nothing out there. No electric vehicles could tow. And the Model Y came out with a factory-installed hitch, and we could get a long-range battery. And we bought it about a year, almost 2 years ago now, simply because we wanted to travel with it, which I think is probably the reason. You really need to think about, why are you buying this car? What are you going to use it for? So our purpose was to, after we retired, we wanted to travel. We live in Arizona. My family's in Northern California. My husband's family's in New Jersey. So we travel to go visit anybody. And we wanted to be able to do it in comfort and take our own bed with us. So we bought a tiny little tent trailer, the smallest one that they make, and we bought the Tesla and we took off. And
tell us what kind of tent trailer it is? This sounds so
It's it's called a Clipper. It's made by Forest River. It's a little teeny tiny. The box is 8 feet long, so it does have three beds in it, but you need to be really good friends. You can technically sleep six people, but it's pretty cozy.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
And it's great. It works. It's just the two of us and our little dog. It works really well for us. And so we hooked up the trailer and we took off. And every day we would decide how far do we think we're going to go today. And along about midday, we'd hunt up a campground. And for the most part, we were able to charge the car in a campground.
Oh, wow.
Overnight. In addition to, of course, a couple of charging stops along the way. And it made it a lot of fun. People were fascinated. We'd pull up into a campground, and because we wanted a 50 amp and a 30 amp hookup so we could charge the car on the 50 amp hookup, we ended up in the row with the big rigs, the big, long luxury coaches. So you'd walked out this row of, if you can vision, 15 or 20 big rigs, big giant things. And here's our itty bitty little 8 foot trailer. And it was quite the sight. And people would come and ask, do you really pull that trailer with that car? Well, yeah, that's how we got here.
You know, this is the light bulb moment for me, because I'm realizing, even though one of my closest friends owns an RV resort, when you roll up to a campsite with an RV, you want to plug into a 220-volt, 30-amp, or 50-amp plug, which is essentially an electric dryer outlet, and it's the same thing to charge an electric car. And I just, that's so brilliant that you're combining the camping with charging your car. I didn't think that was, I never even thought about that, so that was just a light bulb for me.
It, a lot of people don't think about it. In fact, most of the time when we pulled into a campground, we were the first electric vehicle they've ever seen come into their campground. And we camped this year, we camped a total of 18 nights, spending 10 days in New Jersey. And of those 18 nights, we had one campground who said, "You cannot charge that car here. You are going to burn up our electric box." And even though my husband, the electrician, tried explaining to them how it all works, they were adamant. In fact, they patrolled that night saying, "You're not plugging that car in."
Wow.
It was very weird. So we will never go back there again. But everywhere else we've been, warmly welcomed. People are excited. Yay, this electric car. This is so cool. And then, of course, the big rig owners want to know, well, what's your range? You know, what's it like? And I say, well, it's a lot less than what it costs you to fill up that rig.
Yes. I calculated my initial charge on the VW ID4 that the car is essentially getting 100 miles per gallon of gas.
See? Yeah. You can't. That, and we get, we did buy the long range battery in this car, and it is rated at a much higher rate than what we really get, because when they rate them from the factory, it's on a calm day, flat ground, driving 25 miles an hour.
Without
air conditioning. So the reality is a little bit different. Pulling the trailer, we go about 100 miles and then we need to charge.
So, yeah, but you've got your house right there.
Got our house with us. So we stop, we pull up to the charger. We do have to, most of the time, we have to unhook the trailer to charge, because most of the Tesla superchargers are back in only.
Yes.
And if they have a pull-in, it's sometimes blocking the driveway. And so we try to be courteous and park the trailer away so we're not impeding traffic. And then we've got it down to about 3 minutes to unhook that trailer and get charged. By the time we walk the dog, get a drink, you know, do what you need to do, we're charged and ready to go.
So there's a difference here. We have superchargers, which are called a level 3 charger. We have mid-range chargers, which are called level 2 chargers, which are what you would use at the RV camp. And then we have the 110-volt plug in the wall. So while you're traveling during the day, you're stopping at a DC high amperage supercharger, which at the moment are only available for Tesla. They're talking about making them available for other cars. So the charge is much faster, correct?
Correct. And because Tesla, when they built the cars, said, "We're going to put this infrastructure in," these charging stations are just everywhere.
Yeah, there's even one, you know, I have this little house up in the woods, and in the town where there's a Stop and Shop, there's a line of Tesla superchargers, and usually there's a couple plugged in. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, Tesla did that thing, though, that was a little, originally they were using the universal plug, and then they decided to change it to their Tesla special plug, so other EVs could not use the Tesla station.
And I think they're rethinking that now and are going to start now offering a more universal plug. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's coming.
Oh, good. Because, I mean, we have a line of EV chargers really close to our house, but I can't use those.
Because you don't have the right plug.
Do you guys have an app that you use? Because we use that app to find them, called PlugShare. Yes,
we do too. And the one thing about the app, the Tesla car, of course, is that it when you map out your route on the navigation screen, and then you can add the chargers, and it'll tell you how many minutes they think you need to spend at that charger. We adapt it, of course, because it's cool, but we're pulling a trailer, so our range is a little different.
But they should add that you can put in that you're pulling a trailer.
They should. They're not. Well, there's just not a lot of Teslas pulling trailers out there just yet. Not camping trailers. You'll see utility trailers pretty often. but not a lot of people are camping yet.
Well, so a little secret note, Elon listens to my podcast, so...
Does he?
Oh, good.
Well, that's good. The one thing I would say is that if Elon wants to build more, add more pull-ins for trailers, to think about where they're located so that we're not blocking the driveway and we're not blocking traffic for other cars. That way we don't, you know, we can pull in, and it's a bonus when we find a pull-in. It's like, yay!
Well, it's funny, right? Like, all gas stations are pull through.
Right.
Right? There's a reason that infrastructure developed that way.
Hey, real quick, if you would like to help support the show, one way is to use the Amazon link for Garden Fork. I said that backwards. The Garden Fork Amazon link. It's in the show notes here. It's amazon.com/shop/Garden Fork. If you use that link, it'll take you to our shopping page. We can see the cool tools I use, cookbooks. I have several lists there of stuff. But also, by visiting that page, then going doing all your shopping, we get a finder's fee for whatever you shop for that day. That's really helpful. Amazon.com/shop/Garden Fork. Thank you. Yeah, so on our car, when the battery is getting low, if you have 40 miles left in the battery, it starts beeping at us incessantly, and I need to figure out how to dial that back. But it also, on the built-in navigation screen, it shows you where charging stations are. And funny thing, the camera operator was driving the car, and in the next town, which is another small town, but it's kind of a progressive town, and it said, you know, beep, 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 you're running low. There's a charger, a car charger, 700 feet away. And she's in this little town. And it's like, where's the charger? At the town hall in this town, they put a charger in the parking lot.
We have the same thing in this little town near me in Hyattsville. And up until October of last year, it was free to do the rapid charge.
Yep.
And we've seen that a couple of times as well in some of the smaller towns and remote areas. We go to remote areas frequently, and we don't always take the trailer, but the Tesla is our primary vehicle. And so if we're going to go somewhere for the day, we will take it out for the day. And it's fun to find those, and it's nice to be able to use those.
I really liked what you said about before you buy your car to think about the use case. Because we ended up getting the Nissan Leaf because we basically wanted to use it to take the kids to school because our school had moved. And instead of being, you know, 5 blocks away, it was, you know, a couple miles away through traffic. And so that, you know, that's why the Leaf made sense for us instead of a bigger vehicle. If I was going to replace our Highlander, I'd get the car that Eric got. What's it called again, Eric?
The Volkswagen ID4.
Yeah.
I agree. I think, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Helen.
I was just going to say, when thinking about what to talk about on this podcast, I that was one thing I wanted to bring up. So I'm glad you brought that up, Nicole, that I really think that before someone buys an electric car, we really need to think carefully about how are we going to use that vehicle? What's going to go in it? Who's going to go in it? And how far are you going to go? Are you going to go to the garden center and get a load of mulch? Do you need to put a couple of big dogs in there? How are you going to do this? So that's why we settled on the car that we did, because it has, it can tow. That was our primary reason. And number two, we can use it for every day. And my husband's not real appreciative of this, but I can put a tarp in the back and I can go to the garden center and get a load of mulch.
So what did you do with your old Tesla?
We sold it on one of the online car buying agencies for almost what we paid for it in the height of the pandemic when people were looking for used cars.
Well, that's great.
Oh, wow.
So we were tickled. Yeah, we were tickled. We sold it for far more than we thought we'd get for it.
So I have a funny story. I live in D.C., and there was a Tesla store downtown. And, you know, my husband and I were walking around. I went out to dinner across the street, and I was like, well, let's just go look at the place. Let's go look at the cars. So they had one in the showroom. I mean, it was not a dealership, right? They make a big deal that they don't have any dealerships because they don't want to pay this special dealership tax. So we're looking at the cars, though, and I say to this kid who's working there, so do you ever get any used, one of these? And it was at the very beginning. There weren't used Teslas anywhere. And the kid just looked at me. He was like, no, lady, you're not getting a cheap Tesla. He didn't say that. He was like, sometimes we get lease returns.
We did for a really good price. And then we're able to sell it for far more than we thought we would. And I will say for the Tesla store, we were just looking because my husband is trying to convince me that we need to buy this Model Y. That we went to the Tesla store, and the young man helping us, he said, you know, he said, if you put your order in by such and such a date, he said, you'll get the car in 2 weeks and the prices are going up. So we did, and we did get the car in 2 weeks, and the prices now for that car are considerably more than we paid for it. So we feel like that was smart. We listened to the kid.
That's great. I actually was very concerned about the cargo space as well, Helen, because our Labradors aren't huge, but they are big. And, you know, since we drive between two houses, which I know is kind of a weird thing, and I'm constantly hauling junk tools and materials because I own old houses and I'm constantly fixing them. So I was very, during the pandemic, I just read of every electric car I could, and the Tesla Y and the Volkswagen ID4 were the only ones that met the criteria of trailer hitch and cargo space. And the ID4, if you get the all-wheel drive, it comes with a built-in trailer hitch. So, and because I live in Brooklyn, I didn't want to park a Tesla on the street because kids will mess with cars here. And the ID4 was a little bit more kind of manila envelope, plain looking. So we went with that, and I'm very happy with it. Are there some other things you wanted to talk about, Helen? Or
just that, you know, if people are nervous about trying an electric car, go rent them. You can rent them from some of the independent organizations, like one of them is Turo, that owners will rent their cars. It's how we did our first Tesla. We went and rented one for a day just to see what it was like.
Oh, that's really smart. I think Hertz has them now too.
Yeah, just try them out for a day and see what you think, because is it going to work or not? And so for us, because this was planned, this is our primary vehicle. We use it to run to the grocery store, we use it to go to the doctor, and we use it to drive to New Jersey. So this is our mode of transportation. And you just have to think about that a little bit. The other thing I would say is that it's a lot of fun.
It is. Will Wallace, one of the co-hosts, he had to fly on a business trip. And when he landed, he went to Hertz. And they said, well, would you like a Tesla? And he said, sure. And then he called me from the car and put me on speakerphone, and he was having this transcendent moment driving the electric car. And it was kind of fun to experience it with him. So you can get, at least at Hertz you can get them. Maybe you could get them at the other ones too, just to try them out. So what were you going to say, Helen? And
I was just going to say that it's a lot of fun, and because there's so many different electric cars on the road now, it's amazing. It's really fun. And you'll pull into a parking lot and you'll see another EV, and we have to go check it out and talk to the other driver and see, you know, compare that car to our car. It's a lot of fun.
It's like being a dog owner or having kids, right? You have an instant connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The other thing is that the electricity is less than gas. So it costs less it costs us a lot less to charge that car every day and get across country. We would not have done it with a gas car. It's just too expensive.
Now, do you guys have solar panels too at the house or no?
We do. We have a small off-grid system, and I can't remember the size, but I can tell you it has 8 panels, and we use it to charge. Well, it operates our tool shed. Like I said, we live out in the country. My husband also wired up one outlet in the house, in each room of the house, so we can charge our electronics. And we can run the refrigerator and the television and a fan in case of power outage.
Oh, that's great.
That is great. We need to have another podcast with your husband.
Really, he's very knowledgeable. He's a solar systems designer. He's done this. He's now retired, but he's been involved in the solar system, like I said, since the 80s when nobody was thinking about it. And so
I was thinking about solar in the 80s, but I just couldn't afford any of it.
I'm not saying he had any then, but he definitely was involved in the design. So he was able to put this small system up in our house, which it's pretty slick when it's really hot. So I've also hooked up out in the shed a countertop toaster oven and a microwave oven, so we actually can cook out there and not heat up the house here in the lovely desert in the summer.
If you're curious about what's going on in Eric's brain, maybe consider becoming a patron of the show. Every week I post between 1 and 10, depending on what I'm doing with the app, just photos and thoughts and what I'm working on kind of stuff. Also, the after show, which is basically the third half of the regular Garden Fork Radio podcast. So think about that. Cup of coffee a month, a lot of Eric. You might not want that, or you just want to, like, buy me a cup of coffee a month. That would really be cool. Appreciate that. Information is below and at patreon.com/gardenfork. Thank you. And we all three of us own electric bikes as well. So let's move on. Helen, do you have what kind of bikes do you have?
We have Rad Power bikes.
And how long have you had them?
We've had them going on 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe two, going on three. I'm not real sure. We bought the kind that fold in half, we could get them in the back of the car, because at the time we had the older Tesla. Because living out here in the country, if you want to ride any distance, the main road is treated like a freeway and you risk your life to step out there. And so we feel safer putting the bikes in our car and heading out to a nice scenic trail and enjoy the outdoors.
Oh, that's great. So you use them for trail riding.
We do. We live too far out of town to make sense of doing anything in town. We're 10 miles away from the grocery store. So it's doable, but not practical.
And did you guys look at any other ones? Like, I think Turn makes a foldable one. Bike Friday makes a foldable electric one. Or were you guys sold them for the Rad bikes?
My husband looked at several of them and decided that for quality and what he felt our use would be, that the Rad bike was the bike we should get. In fact, he ordered them and said, "Surprise, look what's coming in the mail."
Shameless plug here, but I have an affiliate link for Rad Power Bikes. If you're interested, there's a clickable link in the show notes here. I have two Rad Power Bikes and I love them. I like the creation story. I like how it all started, and I have yet to have a problem with those bikes. I don't have the foldable ones, but I could see how that would work really well. And with the Tesla Y, those are probably easier to get into the car, right, Helen?
They are, but however, we did add a bike rack that goes into the hitch, so we now can just, you know, pop them up on the bike rack, which is a little bit easier and less time consuming than folding the bikes up and putting them in the back. We also have a small dog who has to go everywhere with us. He's a rescue and he has separation anxiety, so he doesn't do well at home alone.
Uh-huh.
So we added a trailer for the dog. So off we go with our dog in the trailer and our two bikes, and we spend the day out enjoying the scenery.
And is your bike rack the kind like for the motorcycles that it kind of rolls up onto?
No, you have to lift it up on. It's the kind that they hang.
The hanging one. Okay. Yeah, I've always worried about using, I mean, my bike wouldn't work on that because it's too heavy. I have a Yuba El Mundo, but now it's like long in the tooth. It's almost 10 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I know, but it's heavy. It's very heavy, so I couldn't use the hanging rack.
I'm thinking of looking into like some sort of a light motorcycle rack to put mine in, because mine have fat tires and they're kind of rugged bikes. So I'm thinking I got to look into that. But
yeah, that's what most people do in my DC Family Biking Facebook page, because it's much easier to get it up, get them on the rack and take them off. There was another thing I was going to say. I'm sorry, guys. Senior moment.
Well, Helen, with your off-grid solar array, you can charge the batteries on the Rad Power bikes.
Correct, which is what my husband usually does. He charges all of the battery tools and so on the solar panels, which makes us feel like we're being really green. So,
well, and one thing you didn't mention, but like, I don't know, you know, the great thing about having an electric bike riding on the trails is you can go further. Like my brother can, you know, ride on the trails for hours on his own, but having that electric makes you feel a little, I don't know, it makes me feel, it's like a security blanket. I can go further.
Exactly. And as a doctor recently said to my husband and I during an appointment, as we get older, it's really nice to have that little extra boost. And I tend to not use the electric unless I'm going up a really steep hill and I just want a little extra oomph to get me up over the top because I want the exercise. But we can go farther. If I start getting tired, then yes, we can use a little boost and we can go, you know, 10 or 20 miles and be able to walk the next day, which is pretty good.
Now, Eric, does the camera operator have a bike yet?
No, that will not happen.
Oh, she's not into biking.
No, but that's okay. I mean, she's into other things. And the biking is meditative. It also helps with the mood swings. You know, if I don't exercise in the morning, I try and ride my bike at some point, and it just gets your heart pumping. And so instead of taking medicines, I'd rather just go exercise. So that's the big reason I got the bike.
My husband doesn't bike either. I bought him a bike when we were first dating, and we were on our first bike ride. It was a Dayhan foldable bike. And we're going along, and he's like, I forgot to tell you something. And I was like, what? He's like, I hate biking. So the boys are like, we're family bikers, except for Dad. He doesn't bike.
He's that guy. Well, cool. This has been really interesting. Thanks to Helen for reaching out again, because you know who lost the email when she sent and said, hey, we have all this interesting e-bike and e-car stuff. So it's really nice to set this all up. If you all have some more questions or you have something to share as well, please reach out to me. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. Helen and Nicole and I are going to stick around for the after show. If you're interested in getting the after show, you can become a supporter of the show through Patreon. There's links to that below. We're going to talk about the new camera I bought. So geek out some more with digital stuff. So thanks everyone for listening. Really, just I'd love to hear from you. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. All right, thank you. Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our producer is Sean O'Neill. If you need an amazing podcast producer, visit Sean's site, seaninbrooklyn.com. That's Sean, Sean, in Brooklyn.com. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goose. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.